This is the Out of Time Film Podcast, where your hosts, Tom and John, discuss everything from blockbuster films to TV and games like there's no tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to the Out of Time Film Podcast. I'm Tom.
I'm John.
And this week we are talking about Borderlands, because we had to.
We just had to. This film was put in pre-production for such a long time, since 2015. And this film had so many rewrites, cast ideas, and this is a game franchise that is beloved. It's a fun game overall. I mean, I played a fair bit of the game, but this one, you could definitely tell a lot just happened in this movie.
Did it start filming in like 2021 or something like that?
Maybe. Because yeah. Kate Blanchett was cast in 2021.
Yes.
Such a long time trying to get this movie all together.
In between filming this film and it releasing, Kate Blanchett shot and released Tar. It's one of those wild films where over the course of this long and crazy production, the cast are doing other things. It's a very odd one because I feel like I've been seeing trailers for this at the cinema since January, maybe even since late 2023. And every time I see that trailer, I think to myself, who is excited for this? I've never played the games myself, but I haven't seen any of the fans of the games be like, this is great. I haven't seen any regular moviegoers go, this is great. I haven't seen any of the fans of any of the cast to be like, this is great. Who is this for? Who wanted this? I don't know. And I really wish that I could be sitting here and say, oh yeah, this film seemed like it was pointless, but it's actually amazing. I can think of a bunch of projects that I look at and I say, hey, who wants a show about that guy from Rogue One? And then they make Andor. But I'm sitting here and I'm like, yeah, no, it looked bad and it was bad.
It was bad. It was
no surprise.
Bad. Like, there was no, well, obviously there was no hype. There was nothing to really get anything out of it from the trailers, because they were trying to take away the Guardians style with the music, but also the character dynamic with the crew in the Guardians, which I absolutely love. But here, this just sounded like an absolute ripoff. Why do you need to take the literal foundation to Guardians using music in a clever way? But here, they're just using music as a cheap way to like, hey, here's some fighting, hey, here you go, here's some pretty cool moments. Like, it just didn't serve the story any purpose or anything like that. It's a really weird trend when it comes to movies that are trying to be like the Guardians. So yeah, you could definitely see that in the Borderlands trailer and in this movie. But the thing is, with the Borderlands trailer, they didn't show anything new. We just saw the story inside that trailer, and it was just, oh great, they showed us everything in that. I'm just disappointed, because I've seen the trailer so many times.
Aside from like one twist, that was pretty much the only thing that we didn't already see in the trailer. And the thing about Guardians of the Galaxy is that it was such a moment for comic book films, for action films, sci-fi films, but largely team-up films. And obviously Suicide Squad is probably the most famous instance of trying to emulate that style. But we have seen it in other places. I think about Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets, if anyone cares to remember that film. But this, again, it's just like, I haven't played the Borderlands games, and so all the characters might be spot on and they might have gotten perfect. I don't think they have, but to me they were just all Guardians of the, you know, the six members of this team. You can pretty much designate all of them apart from one, two Guardians characters without any of the depth, without any of their layers. Kate Blanchett's character Lilith, I hate that I remember the names. Lilith, she's very much the Peter Quill, the kind of selfish hero who grows a heart. You know, Roland is the one who worked for the bad guys, but is now going to do something good with himself. That's very Gamora, but Gamora has this whole thing where she's like, you know what? I have lived my life surrounded by my enemies. I'm going to die surrounded by my friends. And Roland, does he have a character arc? No. You've got the big dude who is just Groot. He just says things and he's muscle. You've got Jamie Lee Curtis, who is very... I said I know the names. I've already forgotten the names. Jamie Lee Curtis, she doesn't really understand social cues. Metaphors go over her head, just like Drax. And then, of course, you've got Tina, who is, you know, the demolitions expert. She's a little bit on the edge, but she's a clone and she's been taken apart and put back together. And that's just Rocket Raccoon, right? But without all of that introspective pain beneath the surface. The film certainly tries, but it fails on all accounts, and it just feels like this really upsetting ripoff. And then, as if we couldn't get any worse, we have probably the worst character in any film I have ever had the unfortunate pain of witnessing. And again, there were people laughing in the cinema, which is great, and I hope people have fun with this character. But Jack Black as Claptrap was really upsetting to watch.
Oh my god. I've seen Claptrap in the games. He's not too annoying. He's just like a fun character who is trying to be part of the crew sometimes. But here, I wanted to leave the cinema. I wanted to leave because how annoying he is. He ruins so many character moments in the story. He is the narrative device of the story. Everything happens from him or because of him. There's a really stupid moment in the story, which we will get into. I need to forget about that. And the Claptrap was the only character that could control the story. And it just took away so many things from the characters. And as we are talking about characters, these characters are nothing special. They have nothing to like tell the audience who they are. But their dialogue is just so expositional. You just like, oh, okay. She doesn't like this planet because she lived there. He works for this corporation, but he realizes Tina is like, oh, I'm special, but I'm not. And then the psycho guy, he's like, that's it. That's what I heard in the movie.
That is true.
And it's just like, there are no character arcs. Why do we care about these characters? That is the most important thing about characters. But here, everyone is just so damn annoying. And I just wanted to like, please tell us something emotional, but they just done it in the worst way possible. It's just so shallow. It's bland. And they tried to have a moment with the characters, but they just do it in a very bland way.
It felt like a spoof movie. Remember how they used to do scary movie, epic movie, superhero movie, where they would just take something popular and they would absolutely reduce any of its emotional depth or nuance? And it feels like that, but it's actually trying to be serious. And as you said, there's been plenty of production trouble. I would hope that there was some more depth in this film, but I really didn't feel it. It's like you're talking about Roland having this relationship with the villainous side, the Atlas Corporation. They have like this main lieutenant played by Janina Gavanka, who just does nothing the whole time. Not only is that a waste of her as an actor, you know, I've seen her in Star Wars Battlefront 2 and she plays Iden Versio, but here she's just there like on this hover bike the whole time being like, Roland! Roland, don't do it. Roland's like,
Roland, don't do it.
What
Roland,
is this?
That was it. The entire way of the movie.
Yeah.
And there was nothing to like tell us about this relationship. Is there anything to imply? No, nothing. And we would get into spoilers of what happened to her.
You know what? Let's get into spoilers. This is a bad film. So, you know, if you are going to go and watch it, don't.
Yeah, she is like, okay, everybody, we have to stop firing at these guys. And then she gets killed. Like, she gets killed in the most outlandish way of like, she just gets hit by a laser and then she just turns into dust, like just gone from a reality. And it's just, why was there anything to explore about this relationship? No, it was just wasted. And the movie tries to do something with Lilith as a character, but as I played some of the games, I knew what Lilith's powers were. I knew the twist and I was like, wait a minute, I remember there's something. And you know, playing from the games, Lilith is Iridium thing, daughter of Iridium or something.
Okay.
And they're trying to find the vault. There's some keys that they have to find, and then the last key is a person who has to be connected to the Iridium. So like, the film tries to build up on this twist that Lilith is the daughter of Iridium and she has powers. I wish the movie just could have explored her struggle, you know, with these powers. But no, they just come at last minute and like, yeah, I'm the last daughter of Iridium. And what's worse is they try to build up this emotional tension with her, like trying to go back to her old home. And Claptrap is annoyingly with her. And they go inside her home and it's really deep and personal. Like, this is some environmental storytelling that we get to see. And you don't get to see that a lot in movies sometimes. But here, they've used Claptrap again as a narrative device. And it reveals that Claptrap has a like recording of Lilith's mum. It's like, Lilith, I love you. You're chosen Iridium. Oh my god. At this point in the cinema, I went insane.
You were literally going into cardiac arrest next to me, and I was, I'm so sorry, John.
Yeah. Just sliding down the chair, just like, what am I witnessing?
Yeah. Claptrap wakes up from his message mode, and he literally is like, oh my god, what just happened? Did I just black out? And it's like, this is horrendous. horrendously unfunny. I could have accepted so much of its incompetence if it was funny, if it made me chuckle, but I didn't. And therefore, I'm just watching it just like, oh God, the amount of times that Claptrap would speak and undercut an emotional moment. And you just think, what is going on? And that, you know, that entire Chosen One prophecy, it's the worst way. You know, I don't really mind a Chosen One prophecy, but it's a difficult thing to get right. A lot of time it isn't done right. But this must be one of the most egregious uses of that storytelling device that I have ever. Again, very Guardians of the Galaxy. In Guardians 2, when Peter finds out that he has this celestial power. I remember watching that in 2017 and thinking to myself, oh no, I liked it that Peter was just a guy. And the great thing about that story is that Peter gives up the power and he says, I don't want that. And that's brilliant, fantastic. But Lilith getting this Firebird Phoenix power, I felt like I was watching X-Men Dark Phoenix again. It was just...
Dark Phoenix.
Yeah, John. And I was watching it, I was just like, oh God, what is going on? And then you begin to think about it and you're like, hold on. The reason why she found this key was because she was drawn to it, because she is the daughter of whoever. Fine, whatever. But you're telling me that Mr. Atlas didn't know that she was the daughter of whoever or what's it, and he hired her to get her daughter back so he can open the vaults. And he thinks she's just a bounty hunter, but she is the only person in the universe who can open this vault. And he didn't know that. And the only reason that he hired her was because she was a good bounty hunter. And yet she is the only person who can open this vault. That is the peak of convenience. Maybe if I had any connection to this franchise, I could excuse this. But what? Like,
I have no idea, Tom. I'm
gonna need spin-offs to explain this at this point. You know, it feels like something that you see in Star Wars where it's like, okay, so you just happen to come onto this planet where the Chosen One is, huh? But it's like, okay, in Star Wars there's the Force and a million other spin-offs and reasonings that we can use to, you know, and yeah, we are extending our suspension of disbelief. But here, there's nothing I can draw upon. I'm just like, somebody give me a reason. Somebody theorize this, please. Again, I don't know if this is a thing in the games, but this is such lazy storytelling.
The writing on the story is abysmal. Is there a message? Maybe if you look at the film a different way or take away Claptrap from the story. The film is trying to tell something about, like, it's okay, you can't be the Chosen One. It's fine, don't worry. I'm the Chosen One. You suck. And it's just like...
we are all special.
Oh my God. Wow, that's the message. And the movie is just so pointless. I just don't know why they made this movie in the first place, because I could tell that this movie was not going to be worth it at all. And what's crazy is the film itself has little inspiration from the games. Like, I know the film is directly drawn from the characters and, you know, for the settings for the games, that you could definitely see the world building in this film. But what the game series is pretty violent. There was a lot of gore, there's a lot of styles that the game series is so known for. Like, it has such a 2D but also 3D style in the games. And that's why I love that it just has this style that complements the fun gameplay. But they just tone it down for the movie and they just took away what the game series was known for, like the violent aspects, both for the style of it, and they just turn it into like a very modern commercial way. I just don't know what happened with that, because you could definitely extrapolate that style from the games. It just feels like the director just looked at the game for like 10 minutes of gameplay, and they're like, I got it, let's do that. Because most of the film was just the characters shooting. That's it. The characters are just shooting, and they go one place to another, and they just have nothing to learn or, you know, have consequences at all for the story. Well, except for Claptrap. He doesn't learn, but he just causes a lot of things in the story. And the characters have no conflict. They just go, oh, yeah, let's go to the next location. Because I feel like they're trying to rush into, like, going to different locations and trying to show fans, like, hey, we care. We care about these, you know, locations and stuff. And it's horrible. We just want to explore about the characters, not rush into different locations. It's just annoying.
It could have been R-rated. They could have lent into that gore. The action could have been anything, but it wasn't. It just wasn't. You know, I'm going to be a little bit positive for a moment, if I may. As ever with a lot of these films, some of the technical aspects are marvelous. The costumes are excellent. All the characters look brilliant. The prosthetics are great. The sets are really cool. And from that perspective, I look at the film and I say, yeah, well done. You've adapted the world fairly well. But that's not all it takes. You need an understanding of anything nuanced. And again, I haven't played the game, but I would assume that the game has more nuance or has more likability. And so even though I can look at it and say, oh yeah, I can appreciate these costumes, I can appreciate these technical effects, I just think it's all wasted. And there are a couple of action set pieces. Like there's one where like there's a bunch of people flooding this underground cave and they're escaping. And there's a moment where I'm like, this is kind of interesting, but then it gets sapped from all of that. There are brief moments in the action where it's like, yeah, I can see where you're going, but it's just nothing. And it's a shame for all the fans out there. Like, I genuinely, we are entering an era where video game adaptations are getting good and creators are finally understanding what it takes. We've had Fallout, we've had Sonic, we've had Mario, we've had Last of Us, we've had Arcane, a bunch of excellent, excellent, excellent adaptations, not without their problems, of course, but they have been really well liked and well received, and fans of the games have liked them, and new fans have discovered them, and they have hit their target audiences perfectly. And this, it just doesn't do any of that. It feels more like early days video game adaptations than it does those genuine great ones. This is probably the worst one I've seen in a while. This is definitely worse than Uncharted, for instance. This has so little for me.
You can definitely tell this feels like an early days video game adaptation, because it's just like, okay, let's just show these characters and, you know, let's do this. And yeah, it's worse than Uncharted, because Uncharted had some of its moments and definitely tried to do like a love letter to the games. But here, it had nothing to offer, nothing to show anything new about the games. Because what video games adaptations are doing nowadays is really a genius way, actually, like to tell a different perspective from stories and try to expand the world, like Arcane, for example. And they've made these characters really complex and layered. And Fallout, they've done it so well to like expand the game series and trying to turn it into a TV show. And then here, Borderlands, they've just done everything. And they tried to use oversaturated CGI, by the way. You could definitely tell throughout the movie, it just completely took me out. And you're like, oh great, I'm watching a movie that is oversaturated CGI.
Especially with all those great costumes and the great practical sets. Like, why are we painting over it with CGI, guys?
It is mad. And there's one scene that you can definitely tell that CGI was when Tina was throwing the bombs behind her, and it just had no impact at all.
I can't assume that somebody like Cate Blanchett or Jamie Lee Curtis care about this film. I don't understand why they were cast. I don't understand any of them. Like the end, when it's just CGI Cate Blanchett flying around with phoenix wings, it's like, why you? There's a couple times when Cate Blanchett's like, oh, I'm getting too old for this. And it's like, okay, Lilith in the games is in her 20s. And so why are we casting this actor who is decades older than that? You know, I love Cate Blanchett, I really do, but this isn't her role. Something like Tar is her role.
Tar Sweep.
Yeah, exactly. She starts the clock. There is no time without Tar. You know, and like Jamie Lee Curtis and Kevin Hart. Yeah, great. And I love them all. But why are you here? I just don't get it. It feels like from the inception of this film, it was just misunderstood, and it was, like, it's not the worst thing that I've seen this year, because I wasn't painfully, you know, I wasn't offended by it. I was offended by Argyle. I was offended by Ghostbusters. Yes. I am exaggerating there. I don't actually get offended by films. But, you know, I felt more passionately about those. Whereas this, I'm just baffled. And I just think to myself, how did this happen? Tell us if you liked the film, maybe if there's some stuff that you found actually endearing about it, or if you are a fan of the games and you do feel, I don't know, betrayed. What are you going to give Borderlands out of 10?
A three.
I'm going to give it a 2. Thank you everybody for listening. If you're listening on YouTube and you enjoyed it, you can like and subscribe if you want to see more. And if you're listening on Spotify or Apple, you can follow and give us a 5-star review if you think we're worthy. And next week, hopefully it's better. We got Alien Romulus.
Hey!
Ooh,
yay!
Yes.
I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, I've seen some behind the scenes stuff and it looks a lot of fun. Finally, we're getting like a horror movie in the summer again. And it's just like, hell yeah, we want to see that. We are looking forward to that. that.
Yeah, no, me too. And you can send us an email at ourstimefilmpod@gmail.com. We'll be recording next Saturday, so let us know your thoughts on Alien Romulus by then, and we'll answer it right here on the podcast next week.
Yes, and you can follow us on Instagram at ourstimefilmpod to see our incredible thumbnails from Zane Asphol, on Twitter for more thoughts from Tom, and TikTok to see, oh, and me as well, don't forget that, and TikTok to see edited clips, which are all also on Instagram Reels and YouTube Shorts, and you can find links to that all in the description below. Thanks to LJN Smith for the excellent theme and Roman Phillips for vocals as always. And I think that's everything.
Fantastic.
Take what you're given.
Give nothing back.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.